This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me here on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country for the Community Matters program. And today, joining us on the Community Matters program is our Erie News Now State Capitol correspondent, Brendan Scanlon. And Brendan has had the opportunity to be, well, Brendan's been in Harrisburg now for quite a while reporting for us. And, you know, I gotta say, Brendan, every single time we're able to talk, I am just really fascinated by all the different things that you're able to cover because you have so many different things going on. And like we mentioned right before we started recording here, you know, session just kind of started again and, you know, they were on a bit of a recess. So now that everything is back happening at the Capitol and things have been, you know, just absolutely crazy over the last couple of weeks, you've been really busy.
Yeah, Aaron, thanks again for having me. Always great to be here with you. It has been definitely a busy couple of weeks. It's been a sort of an interesting start to 2023 for at least lawmakers in the House. Remember, we had all that kind of conflict and debate over who controlled and with that really, really narrow margin, you know, giving Democrats a one seat edge over Republicans in the House. It's made things, you know, definitely delayed things starting off. You know, we had vacancies, special elections. So there's definitely a lot of delay as we sort of got going here. But essentially what's happened now is that lawmakers are sort of the last 2 weeks or so, they were back off of a couple of weeks off. And we really saw the combination of a lot of legislation, new legislation being introduced. We saw a lot of advocates and associations and groups coming to the Capitol in these last 2 weeks when lawmakers were there because they're pushing for specific bills or they're pushing for specific priorities that they're looking to get out of this year's budget, which again is the deadline is just around the corner in late June. So June's going to be a really busy month. Again, as the state and lawmakers look to try to get that budget for the 2023-24 fiscal year finalized by the end of June. So it's going to be a busy month and a half or so here.
So, you know, one thing that I was kind of thinking about in relation to that, you know, when you talk about these groups that are coming down for advocacy and trying to get, you know, more money in the budget for certain specific things, you've had an opportunity to be able to cover some of these different things that some of these groups are pushing for. And I mean, really, it's pretty interesting because some of these groups really, I mean, when you look at the wide impact of some of the legislation that we're talking about and what they're hoping for, I mean, it stretches all the way out to Warren County here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's something, you know, either in the budget or some piece of legislation that's currently making its way through the House or Senate right now that is going to have a profound impact on every corner of the Commonwealth, especially in Northwest Pennsylvania, everything from health care and you know, addressing the nursing shortage, addressing, you know, other worker shortages, public safety, fire, EMS. I mean, there are so many major issues right now that need to be addressed. And we've seen some of those issues at least outlined in Governor Shapiro's budget. He's been very vocal about some of his priorities. He's been touring different parts of the Commonwealth, really every corner, to tout some of these priorities that he's pushing for, like more funding for fire, EMS, trying to encourage more nurses, police officers, teachers, you know, by offering a tax incentive for them to pursue a career in that profession. That's been something that we've been talking a lot about. Some folks are finding that very appealing. Whether that stands up through budget negotiations and is a final product of the budget has yet to be seen. Again, it's going to be a lot of negotiating among Republicans who control the Senate, Democrats who control the House, and Governor Shapiro, again, obviously a Democrat. So there are a lot of things up in the air that we could potentially see negotiated. And, you know, it can go a number of different ways. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of what makes it through his budget proposal, again, that the governor offered in early March. You know, what stands? We heard from many lawmakers, Democrats especially, but also some Republicans who said that his budget proposal was a solid starting point, that they thought there was more common ground here to work off of than there have been in previous years. Recently, over the last couple of days, couple of weeks, lawmakers, Republicans, especially in the House, have been a little more outspoken about sort of, you know, some issues that they're having currently with budget negotiations and the budget process. So we're going to be hearing a little bit more about that and what kind of some of those issues might be. Because really, up until now, it's kind of been almost a little too good to be true, if you will. You know, folks are saying, yeah, everything's, you know, it's been going relatively smooth as far as appropriations hearings and budget hearings. And now that we're kind of getting closer to that June 30th deadline, it's like, well, you know, maybe that wasn't, you know, we're seeing a little more back and forth between both Democrats and Republicans. So it'll be fun to watch as we really start to get into the bulk of negotiations here over the next 6 weeks or so.
You bring up a really good point there, Brendan. And actually, one thing that I wanted to talk about in relation to what we've been discussing here, and this actually is going to have a pretty big impact on Warren County. When we look at the school budgets and what's going to be in the budget, when we look at public schools versus charter schools and the way that that is all set up and the way that it's going to play out. I mean, we see advocates asking for more money for charter schools. And I know the public schools are asking for more money as well. And I mean, here, when we look at the Warren County School District, I know the money that comes down from the state ends up playing a really big role. And I mean, at least at this point, they're looking at whether it's going to keep schools open or not. So
yeah, school funding is just, it's been one of those topics here. You know, and like you're saying before, I've been down here for about a little over a year and a half, coming up on 2 years. And school funding and, you know, sort of the issue between funding public traditional schools and charter schools, the debate over school choice has honestly been one of the most interesting, fascinating, but complex you know, issues that I've probably covered here at the state capitol. There are so many different angles and elements to this debate, you know, so many different things to consider about school choice, which is obviously very popular among many Republicans, even some Democrats. And basically what school choice is, Aaron, is providing families, parents especially, with the opportunity to choose where they would like to send their kids. Many of these parents, many of these Republicans, and like I said, even some Democrats say that traditional public school districts around the Commonwealth are failing students. You know, we heard from a Democratic senator in Philadelphia just earlier this week who was absolutely outraged at the school district in Philadelphia for practically lowering standards for their students based on the COVID-19 epidemic and the impact that had. He says they're basically throwing in the white flag and saying, you know, we're going to turn an F into a C, or, you know, something along those lines. They're lowering standards. And he was not happy to hear that. Again, a Democrat, and Democrats, many of them are very much for funding public schools, providing for teachers. So there's so many angles, like I said, to this issue. You know, many parents want to be able to choose where they send their kids to school. Public charter schools are growing in popularity, really growing in popularity over the last 30 years. And to kind of give some context, I mean, charters were sort of, I guess, established. You know, there was a charter law in Pennsylvania that was written in the 1990s, which is about 30 years ago. And that was basically saying, hey, you know, we're going to establish these charters to kind of provide a different approach to education for a few number of students. But since then, they've become increasingly popular. We've seen, you know, charters for art, theater, sport charters, you know, STEAM, so many different types of charters now that have become extremely, extremely popular. There's a really large waiting list for many of these charters. Many of the school districts have to put a cap on the enrollment for charters because, keep in mind, school districts have to pay the charters, you know, a certain amount of money for a student to attend. So, you know, critics of school choice will say, hey, these charters are publicly funded through our school districts and they're privately operated with little transparency. So that's kind of the main issue that they bring. But charters, you know, school choice advocates say, hey, we're providing real opportunities here to students who have felt left out, to students who have been bullied, even beaten up, students that feel left behind and are, you know, are tired of the their needs not being addressed in their school district. So it's a really interesting argument. I don't mean to ramble on here, but we do have a pretty decent amount of reporting on it up on our website, ErieNewsNow.com. But again, that's one of those topics, one of those issues that's definitely going to be, I think, a pretty big deal in this upcoming budget. Because again, whether it's traditional publics or charters, our education system definitely needs funding. I think both sides agree to that. And education funding, again, it has been in recent years, it's going to be a very big topic in this year's budget.
Absolutely. You bring up a really great point with that. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to talk about as we talk about things that are really important and things that are going to be coming up soon. Right now, as of recording right now, and as of the date that this is going to air, it's before primary day. But, you know, this Tuesday coming up is primary day. And, you know, it's a really good opportunity for, you know, us to be able to talk about some of the different things that are happening relating to that. Because I understand that, you know, people are right now, at least, you know, down your way in Harrisburg, kind of, you know, pushing for opening up these primaries to allow for more access. How does this work?
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's a perfect time to talk about it, too. The push, just to kind of give a little bit of a background, I think it was way back in the early 1900s where Pennsylvania closed their primaries, which essentially means that only registered Republicans or registered Democrats can vote in a primary election. It's kind of like, hey, you're joining our team, you're joining our party. We all have the opportunity to vote on who we want our candidate to be in November to face off against the other team. And, you know, it's been 90 some years, I think, since that was originally enacted. Obviously, the political landscape and party system has evolved and has certainly come a long ways since then. We've seen a large number of independents. I think there's about 1.3 million independents registered independents in Pennsylvania. So basically what a lot of folks want to do, many lawmakers from both sides of the aisle and advocates, they want to open up the primaries that would essentially give independents a chance to vote and third party, voters a chance to vote in Pennsylvania's primaries. And they say that's necessary for a number of reasons. One of the main ones being is that they say it can promote more moderate candidates that appeal to a larger number of voters. When you think about it, it's usually a smaller number of registered Republicans or Democrats that are actually turning up to vote in the primaries, you know, as opposed to the general. So basically what they're saying is, look, you have a smaller number of the electorate from either party who tend to be a little more less moderate.
With these primaries opening up and, well, with the idea for these primaries to be opened up, what I'm kind of wondering, you know, are people and experts looking at this and do you like, and I don't know if anyone's mentioned this, but my thought process is opening up these primaries would give it or allow the primaries to be a better litmus test for the general population because you are getting a larger sampling audience that's going to be, you know, taking part in this.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, you're getting a bigger chunk of the electorate, you're getting independents involved, and of course members of either party. And it's basically what a lot of these advocates for open primaries will say is that it could, you know, produce more moderate candidates just because of that reason. You know, typically in the primaries we see, you know, the folks who lean a little harder right or a little harder left, the more partisan voters tend to show up in the primaries. So oftentimes we see the nominee for those parties reflect those voters that show up, whether it's, you know, someone who might lean a little further to the right or a little further to the left instead of somebody who's more moderate. And, you know, advocates and lawmakers we speak with say there is a huge, huge need for that, especially nowadays in our current political climate. And another big thing they mentioned, too, is that, you know, independents and third party voters, you know, they're taxpayers, they're paying for these elections, but they can't vote in the primary elections. Whether it's, you know, a really big number of you know, younger voters, voters under 40, a large number of them tend to be registered independents because they don't really see themselves aligning with either one side or the other. We know a big number of veterans in Pennsylvania are independent as well. So advocates have really been saying for a number of years now is that it's almost like taxation without representation as far as not being able to vote in the primaries. But, you know, there's obviously folks on the other side of the argument who say, listen, like, that's how it's been and that's how it should be. Either you register Republican or you register Democrat to participate in the Republican or Democratic primaries. It's kind of like, you know, you look at it from like a team standpoint, like you don't want members of another team, you know, voting to determine who your team is going to, you know, put forth in November. So it's an interesting concept, but I think there's definitely a lot more popularity around it. There's a lot more support for it than there has been for open primaries. You know, State Senator Dan Laughlin up in Erie there has been really a big champion for this legislation in recent sessions. That's, you know, they're bipartisan Democratic sponsors to his legislation as well. So there is a pretty big growing support among both parties, you know, for open primaries here.
Wow. Well, you know, you bring a really good point to that. Now, one thing that I was kind of curious about, Brendan, is, you know, if people want to try to stay up to date with some of these different things that you're doing, I understand that you have a section on the Erie News Now website where all of your stories and articles are posted up to. And really, it gives people a good idea as to, you know, a way to stay up to date with what you're doing. Because when we go through and we talk about some of these things, you know, you're able to give us your opinion on these things and you're able to tell us, you know, what you've learned and stuff like that. But like, people really can go through and see the whole story if they go to the website.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know there's so many things happening here. And some of the issues, like I said, are complex. You know, there's no easy way to sort of break it down. But, you know, we do our best to provide the, you know, sort of the arguments for and against something and, you know, some supporting evidence to kind of help folks, you know, see for themselves, you know, formulate their own opinions on a certain issue. And what we do is just try to provide as much of that context to help folks sort of come to an opinion or create their own opinion and, you know, give them just some evidence and some other, you know, interesting facts that are out there to help them, again, kind of get a better grasp on the issue so that they could be not only informed voters, informed listeners, but, you know, just have a better idea, a better sense of how things happen in state government.
Well, you know, Brendan, I really appreciate that. I know a lot of people here in, you know, this area appreciate it as well because, you know, really you make it pretty easy for us to understand some of these different things and you break it down in a way that really kind of reflects how it's going to affect people that are in these areas, which I think is really the most important part. So one thing that I'm kind of wondering is as we look forward, and I know they're getting ready to be finishing up the budget. That's going to be in June. So that's going to be a big deal. What are some other things that we're looking at as we look through the rest of this spring?
That's a great question. I mean, one of the big things I think that we're keeping a close eye on, obviously, as we were talking before, the primaries that are coming up very quickly. There's some big judicial races, obviously, a seat on the state Supreme Court. So that's a big race that folks are going to be paying a lot of attention to. There's also a special election in the state House. Remember, we talked a little bit before about kind of how the margin was very thin, razor thin margin. Democrats have a control by one seat. However, there was a resignation by a Democratic state lawmaker earlier this year over allegations of sexual misconduct with a lobbyist down here. So he ended up resigning. There is a special election for his seat scheduled on primary election day. So even though it's on primary election day, this is not a primary election. This is a special election. So it is between a Republican and a Democrat in the Delaware County area, Southeast PA. And really, it's a district that leans Democrat. But there has been a lot of money poured into this race just because it could affect the balance of power in the House. If Republicans somehow manage to pick that seat up, as well as another open seat. There was a state rep who is now a state senator, but again, that's a very Republican district, so they should be able to retain that with a Republican state rep for that vacancy. So if they could do that, as well as pick up this seat in this special election, again, on primary election day, then they will take control of the state house once again. Democrats have had it for a few months now, for the first time in about 12 years. But again, it's a very, very tight, narrow majority. So there's a lot of news over this, you know, this whole issue with this, with the sexual misconduct allegations of this former state representative, a lot of close coverage on this. And there's going to be a lot of eyes on this special election on primary election day. So that's going to be a very interesting thing that I think we're watching, because that could certainly muddy the waters of how things are going to operate in the House at a very important time. You know, I mean, when you think about the power shifting potentially, you know, back to Republican from Democrat, then you have to restructure everything. I mean, the committee makeup, the rule, there are so many different things that have to be sort of rearranged at an absolutely critical time right now with the budget just right around the corner. So we'll see what happens. Again, I said that special election, I think it leans Democrat with sort of where the district is located and the makeup of the district. But again, you really just never know. And we've learned that over recent years, recent months, you really just never know. So that could be very fascinating to watch. And we're going to have some more coverage on that, I think, before that special election takes place again next week on that primary election day.
Wow, that is so interesting. What a situation that would cause there. Because so right now, now with that being said, I understand the Senate is mostly or Republican dominated as far as that the Congress goes right now in the House or in the state government. I understand the Senate is Republican led, and with the House being Democratically led right now, typically that would lead to gridlock, right? I mean, where we're kind of running into some issues where, you know, things can't, they make it past the House, but they can't get past the Senate or vice versa. Right. Then, you know, this really does kind of change everything. And like you said, with it happening so close to, you know, budget time and that type of stuff, it really is going to have a big effect. Now, what I'm wondering, you know, these changes that were made prior to this session starting, where it was, you know, a democratically led House and a republicanly led Senate, were some of these positions and things like that arbitrarily made because of that? Or, I mean, do we need to switch things around for logistical purposes?
So, I mean, basically what happened was, you know, Republicans had control of the House and Senate in the General Assembly here in Harrisburg for quite a number of years. And then at the start of this session of the 2023-24 session, you know, there was debate over who controlled, because Democrats had won more seats in the previous election in 2022, but they had vacancies. So there were special elections in February. Democrats won a majority in the House officially in February. So they, you know, they went through with the rules process, with the making up the committees, you know, everybody was moving offices, that kind of thing. So Democrats won a majority in the House fair and square officially by February. Republicans have, a six seat control of about six seats in the state Senate, which is probably going to stay that way for a while, just because it's been under Republican control for quite a number of years. But again, with the House district maps that were redrawn last year because of the census, you know, they're redrawn every 10 years. They picked up quite a number of new seats. I think they netted over 10 or 12 new seats, which ultimately gave them a majority here in the House. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, this one district in the Philly area, Southeast PA, it leans Democrat. Obviously, if Republicans have really good turnout and are able to make something happen, then there's definitely going to have to be some, you know, some conversations as far as, what needs to happen at again, at a very important time. So there's really a lot up in the air. It's tough to say right now what could happen or what might happen. But we're just kind of taking it one day at a time here and seeing what happens in this special election. But again, many folks here that I speak with say that it's likely going to stay Democrat. Folks think it's going to be closer than many people are saying, but again, probably safe Democrat. But again, we will, we'll see. I can never be too confident predicting something nowadays, as you know.
Certainly interested to see the results of that there, Brendan. And Brendan, with that being said, then, if people want to find you on Erie News now, what's the best way they can stay up to date with some of the coverage that you're doing? Because like we've talked about, I mean, you're doing a ton of different things. And I mean, we've mentioned before, these stories and all of this stuff, significantly more in depth than what we're talking about right now, but people can find them all on the web right now.
Yeah. So we're, 5 o'clock, usually weeknights on Erie News Now. We have our reports there from Harrisburg and some of our other bureaus as well, Albany and DC, both Elise and Rachel do a great job as well as in bringing coverage from their respective capitals. And then of course the Harrisburg Bureau page on ErieNewsNow.com. We have, many more details, and break down sort of the issues that we're covering, different web pieces, and try to incorporate a little more, a little more background as to sort of these issues, what impacts them, what kind of impacts they have on you, your listeners, and that type of thing. So definitely check out the Harrisburg Bureau page, and of course, watch weeknights on Erie News Now.
Awesome. Well, Brendan, thank you for taking the time to join me today to go through this. I understand there's just a ton of different things going on. So I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to catching up with you soon, because I know we're going to have to get together as they get ready and finish up the budget, because that's going to, have another big effect on what's going on here. So I'd love to catch up with you then.
Definitely. Sounds good, Aaron. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.
Do you have a passion for helping others? Are you looking for a rewarding career where you can help to better the lives of others? Beacon Light Behavioral Health System currently has part-time and full-time career opportunities available that will meet your scheduling needs for a great work-life balance. They also offer competitive pay, benefits for full-timers, advancement opportunities, plus the availability of a generous commitment bonus for many positions. Beacon Light believes that every individual deserves the opportunity to achieve their fullest potential. Please consider joining their team by viewing their open positions at www.beacon-light.org/careers. They're an equal opportunity employer.